Will the House please come to order? There's no objection. We'll revert to messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 11 amended, relating to the hazardous condition of the Muldoon and Fort Richardson clover leaves on the Glen Highway due to lack of adequate guardrails. Legislative resolve number 15, signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 116, participation by employees of the Alaska State Office in Tokyo in the Public Employees Retirement System effective date, thus adopting House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 116, Public Employee Benefits effective date. The Senate has passed the following and it is returned. Committee substitute for House Bill number 394, State Aid for Community Schools with an effective date. This bill has been sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
If there's no objection, we'll advance to reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Commerce has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 204, relating to exemption from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Munson, Bettesworth, Randolph, and Osterbeck. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 204 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Jaroff.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests?
Representative Jaroff.
Yes, in Gallery A, Mr. Speaker, it's indeed an honor to introduce the individual that is on the other side of our teleconferencing whenever we hold a teleconference, Mary Jo Simmons.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, I think there's a former member of this body, Yul Kilcher from Homer.
We'll advance to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 5 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to agricultural loans under the Alaska Agricultural Loan Act and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 5 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for a committee substitute for Senate Bill 5 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman, concurred in by Halford, Chatterton, Cotton, Fuller, and Miles. Having no recommendation, Osterbeck, co-chairman, Jaroff. The Committee on Finances had committee substitute for Senate Bill 5 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Resources House Committee substitute for a committee substitute for Senate Bill 5 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Schaefer, Montgomery, and Freeman. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 5 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
The objection is noted. Representative Kearney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill number 5 is a bill that's designed to bring the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund up to increase the limits so that the farmers will be able to keep up with inflation when they borrow money. This bill was first put into effect in the early 60s, and the limits have not been increased since that time. And so it's very much needed right now so that farmers can finance themselves to an extent satisfactory to set up viable units. Section 1 is a series of provisions that require farmers to pay or delinquent people to pay interest on the amount of the delinquency. And on the second page, line 17, section 3, is a section that would require the farmers to pay the mortgage in full if the land was converted to other than farm use. And then the on page 3, line 7, as you can see, the limits for the capitalization of the loan fund was increased from $5 million to $20 million. And, the limit of $5 million was put on there in the early 60s, and there's a need for additional money in the fund.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, the reason for my objection was to find out the difference between the House Committee substitute and the Senate Committee substitute. I don't know if that was the difference or just explaining the bill.
Representative Freeman.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Carney.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The difference between the two bills is in Section 1, the House bill, committee substitute, has the delinquency charges for late payment.
Is there objection maintained? There's no further objection. The Resources Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Will the clerk please read the amendment on the desk?
Amendment number 1 by Carney, Miles, and Malone. Page 3, line 12. Delete existing Section 8 and insert Section 8. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 11070C.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There's no objection. The amendment will be adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 5, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill No. 5 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill on third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 5, amended by the House by the Resources Committee. An act relating to agricultural loans under the Alaska Agricultural Loan Act and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate?
Question
for the House is a final passage of Senate Bill 5. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Yeas, no nays, 7 not voting.
House has passed Senate Bill 5. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call on House Resources Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 5, amended by the House, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 201 by the Rules Committee. An act relating to the salaries of elected municipal officials. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 201 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 201 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurring by Parker, Branson, Carney, Parr, Jaroff, O'Connell, and Metcalf. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 201 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I understand the difference between the two bills. I would like to have some explanation of the necessity for the additional language that in the committee substitute.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker,
I'm not sure exactly what the question is. The purpose, did you ask what the purpose of the bill is?
I think it was the amendments.
Well, let me try this oral, and if it fits, fine. If it doesn't, you can try ask me something else. Back when Title 29 was being put together for statehood, the legislature decided that in the case of local government officials, if the city council or assembly wanted to pay them, that would be all right, that they should fix it by ordinance, and that that the salary shouldn't be changed during the term of office for the whatever public official was being considered. But the combination of, I guess, inflation and population growth and just the way things go, that simple statute doesn't hold up anymore. The case in point is the mayor of Soldotna is locked in a death grip battle with his city council over how much he's paid. He hasn't paid anything now. It wasn't clear under the law what they could do. So this says that this, as you can see, requires that they fix by ordinance whatever the salary is and then forbids them from reducing it during the term in office. I guess that's a trick that's sometimes used by city council or something if they don't like the way the mayor is handling the administration. I'm not sure that answered the gentleman's question, but that's the purpose for the legislation.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, having been a city councilman, a borough assemblyman, and a mayor, I was just curious as to why the salary of the mayor says the salary of the mayor may not be reduced. I didn't quite understand why you should differentiate between one elected official and the others as to why, if you can't reduce the salary of the mayor, why you should you be allowed to reduce the salary of the councilman or the assemblyman, as the case may be. And I,
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think. Mr. Speaker, the at the local level, and not in every instance, but in many cases, you have a same kind of balance which is struck at the state level between legislative and executive, and that's a rather tenuous balance. And if you do have the authority of the city council or assembly to say reduce the mayor's salary to zero, then you have made him really a figurehead, completely at their mercy, and there should be some sort of reasonable balance in the power of those two. In some municipalities, the mayor has the authority, for example, to veto ordinances, and some he doesn't. But he shouldn't be completely at their mercy. It was the feeling, I think, on the committee.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to object to this bill as it is worded right now. On line 13, it shows discrimination there, his office. I certainly hope that we'll have some lady mayors eventually. And I think it should be corrected now before we're in problem.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I would withdraw my objection to the adoption of the committee substitute.
Is there a further objection maintained? There's no further objection. The CRA committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 201 be considered in gross advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Committee Substitute Senate Bill number 201 will be in gross advance third reading and placed on final passage. The clerk please read the bill in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 201 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. An act relating to the salaries of elected municipal officials.
The question for the House is the final passage of Senate Bill 201. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Twenty 37 yeas, 7 nays, 6 not voting.
The House has passed Senate Bill 201. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, at the request of the Rules Committee Chairman, I had moved and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 446 be moved to the bottom of today's calendar.
If there's no objection, House Bill number 446 will be moved to the bottom of today's calendar. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Bill number 241 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Nursing and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Bill 241 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 241 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Malone, Osterbach, Halford, and Munson. Signing no recommendation, Randolph and Bettesworth. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 241 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Commerce House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 241 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing DuPass, Freeman, and Rogers. Having no recommendation, McKinnon, Smith, Moss, and Schaefer. Signing Do Not Pass, Montgomery. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 241 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Commerce Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 241 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 241 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 241 by the Commerce Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Nursing and amending the laws regulating the nursing profession and providing for an effective date.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'm not going to go into a great amount of detail on every one of these bills. This is the first of quite a few on the calendar today, and there was one on yesterday that's been reconsidered and acted on this morning. First of all, I'd like some leeway in debate because some of my comments cut across the policy decisions made by the Commerce Committee relating to this bill and the other bills. The Board of Nursing itself probably or almost certainly did the best job of responding to sunset review of any of the boards and commissions before us this year. Of course, they aren't absolutely perfect. There were criticisms in the audit report, which were significant criticisms. Some of those are mentioned in our committee reports. For the benefit of the members, you have on your desk an extra copy of House Journal Supplement number 29, which has our committee reports on all of the matters sunsetted, including all the bills up today, the bill that was reconsidered this morning, and two other bills which would be before the House at a later time. And I can even tell you which page, which one's on. I'm sorry, there's not a table of contents. It's rather lengthy. The first one, of course, is on the Board of Nursing. The committee did decide various minor policy matters regarding the makeup of the board, and as a matter of consistency with regard to the four boards we recommended the continuation of, that they not succeed themselves forever. That's a problem with one of the other boards. Could be a problem for all of them had not many of the members resigned in response to the conflict of interest law in 1976. And also there's a change with regard to the powers involving the advanced nurse practitioners. This board is recommended for a full four-year extension because we find that in general they are acting in the public interest, complying with the statutes, with a few criticisms that we mentioned in our committee report that they have attempted to address already in response to the audit division's report. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to, for a moment, address the policy considerations here. I have a theory that an awful lot of what we do in this country and our political and economic structure, particularly the things that have been done by government and set up by government, are based upon expecting people to do things contrary to the normal run of human behavior. Now, that might apply to the Federal Reserve Board or to labor management relations and a lot of other things, but I think it particularly applies to regulatory boards in this area. The trend over the last 40, 50 years has been that because supposedly the public needs to be protected from improper practitioners in a certain advanced or somewhat advanced profession, that there ought to be a board of members of that profession dealing with the subject matter. But what are the human realities, Mr. Speaker? The human realities are that if I sell blue toothpaste and you sell blue toothpaste and the government puts us on a board to determine how many competitors we will have in selling blue toothpaste, that we might not always follow the good and true trend. And there might be some situations where, particularly when it's hard to meet the payroll or whatever, that there be pressures on us, whether or not we even admit that they're there or even intend to follow them. There are pressures on us to act contrary to the role that government has given us. This is turf protection. It's no secret. It's discussed in our committee reports. Interestingly enough, several weeks after the committee reports were written and the committee had acted, I was provided in some materials circulated by another legislator with an article from an academic treatise, a bunch of psychologists, I guess, who had analyzed behavior with these boards with regard to behavioral psychology and, I suppose, industrial psychology, overwhelmingly demonstrating that the experience in the United States with regard to the regulation of professions has more often been turf protection than protecting the public. Now, that is only one policy consideration, of course. These boards can stand if the committee can find, or the legislature can find, that there's some countervailing public policy reason for having entrance into a profession regulated by members of that profession, which is also a business, that business anyway. Well, we found that with regard to four of the health boards. The four boards that deal with the most advanced healing arts, the four boards that deal in life and death matters involving human beings. That is the Board of Nursing, the Board of Medical Examiners, the Dental Board, and the Board of Pharmacy. And that is the reason why the bills are in the shape that they are before you today. As a matter of fact, with regard to the ones where we do recommend termination, it's not quite the same as termination under sunset, and they have another shot at us. They would anyway under sunset next year because of the way that's written, but we provide a little bit more of a tailored sunsetting on them, December 31, 1980, and they have their full powers until that date. And so they have an opportunity to make an argument to the legislature that there is a countervailing public policy, so that even though the normal human tendency, whoever the individuals are, and some of them are very good, and some of them have bucked this tendency, some of the boards pointed out to us that they had seen it in their board, and they'd rectified the situation. But of course, the membership of the board could change tomorrow, and the human tendency is still there. But if they can show us that there exists, as there does with regard to this board, a public policy reason that is so important that even though we know the turf protection drift is there, that we should still keep those boards, and perhaps we should with regard to the other boards. This is a little longer than I intended. This is really the rationale for behind every bill on the calendar today, Mr. Speaker. And the bill that I'm addressing at this time is the group that probably, well, certainly did the best job in responding to sunset and deserves the accolades of this legislature.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of Representative Brown. You just lauded the Board of Nursing. I'm wondering what their reaction was to putting one member of the nursing profession on the board and three from the so-called public at large. Was that, were they in agreement with that, or is that part of the condition that they agreed to for extension of their function for the next 4 years?
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, perhaps other members have had some response. I've had response, some of the negative, from some of the other boards with regard to that issue, but not this board. That doesn't necessarily mean there may not have been a negative response on that matter. Of course, we're past second reading now. Apparently, no one had an amendment with regard to that matter in second reading. So maybe the members have not been contacted. I know the issue has been raised with regard to the other boards. One of the interesting things about our hearings, Mr. Speaker, were that even though 2 or 3 years ago many of us heard wailing and screaming, and maybe some of us, including me, with regard to some of the boards, I was doing it myself, opposing putting lay members at all into some of these various activities, now we're finding that the experience in the last 2.5 years has been that the most of the boards and commissions are very happy with the activities of the lay members, and it's a response that I really didn't expect. And that's not just true of the boards. It's I think it'll also be true when we have the sunset review next year of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. I know that there are one or two exceptions to that general rule, which I think are more addressed to individuals, and maybe one or two individuals who have a high absence rate or something. But in general, the usual case is the lay members are very active, and their attendance rate is as good as the professional members.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that the previous speaker's comments are correct, that there has been positive response to lay members on these boards, but you've got a situation here that's sort of imbalanced. I know that you have to address the issue of turf protection. I know that certainly in some instances has some validity, but I can sum it up by saying I don't think it's a good public policy or in the public's best interest to have less than 50% of a particular profession represented on any board, particularly that one that does deal with the public health and welfare. Although I didn't take the opportunity to attempt to amend it, I do intend to vote against the bill for that reason.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, perhaps I've missed something that Mr. Hayes has seen, but as I read the bill, there are 7 members and 3 of them are from the public, which is certainly not a majority. I may have missed something there, but that's where I read it.
Speaker. Representative Brown.
Well, both speakers are correct. Really, on this particular board, it's 3-3-1. Because one of the members is someone involved in institutional nursing service, and that arguably could be somebody who is not a registered nurse. The reason for this is that we recommended the termination of the Nursing Home Administrators Board through the procedure we followed. The Senate has actually already acted to terminate them. So we put this into the bill so that there would be an argument available to make to the federal government that we do have a professional in the nursing home field on this particular board, and that this could be the vehicle for funneling federal funds which otherwise might be eliminated if the Nursing Home Administrators Board is eliminated and there's nothing to substitute for it. My memory, and a member of the committee could correct me if this is wrong, but my memory is that we did get information that the nurses, the Board of Nursing, did not object to this, even though it's at least conceivable that that one member might not be a registered nurse. It's also possible that the party could be.
Representative Phillips.
Maybe to help Mr. Hayes here a little bit more, on page 9 of the legislative audit, recommendation number 2 refers to having two lay members on the board itself.
Is there further debate? Representative Miller.
Mr. Quest, if I understand the effect of what we're doing, Mr. Speaker, I might be tempted, for instance, to vote for an amendment along the lines perhaps Mr. Hayes is suggesting. But were I to join him in voting against the bill, I think we'd be totally wiping out the board. Am I not correct in that? We would be sunsetting it out at a slightly later date, but nevertheless wiping it out.
Representative Brown.
Well, Speaker, of course, has been pointed out on this floor earlier today, if no bill passes with regard to any board or commission, the board or commission is sunsetted on June 30, 1979, with somewhat questionably limited powers for 1 year after that for the purposes of winding down its business.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, as I understand this, if we vote against these bills and kill them, we're decreeing that these people die by sunset. Is that correct?
I think we need to sunset this debate. Is there further debate? Question for the House is final passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 241. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Yeas, 3 nays, 6 not voting.
House has passed Senate Bill Number 241. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 241 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill Number 242 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Bill 242 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 242 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Malone, Osterbach, Bettesworth, and Halford. Mr. Randolph signed do not pass. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 242 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Commerce House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 242 and recommends and reports it back without recommendation, attaches a letter of intent and fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Freeman. Having no recommendation, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Schaefer, and Montgomery. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 242 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Objection is noted. Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to momentarily object to adoption of the House Committee Substitute because adoption of that substitute places me in quite a dilemma. If I vote for the House Committee substitute, I'm terminating a board, and if I vote against it, I'm terminating that same board. And my problem is that I'm not sure we ought to do that. We spend a lot of time down here trying to do what we can to ensure that there's some sort of advisory input by those affected by government programs. And we're always reluctant to turn something over to the bureaucracy without setting up some sort of system whereby those who are affected by the program can make their opinions known, can help some have some control over that program. And what this is the first of the bills that we're going to deal with that actually terminates a regulatory board. And my concern is that I'm not that sure that the Division of Occupational Licensing is ready to assume the duties of any of these boards. We, in finance, received a fiscal note from occupational licensing. And they're projecting that in the first year during which they take up regulation of these professions whose boards were terminating, it's only going to cost them $17,000 to regulate these professions, perform the functions now being performed by the boards. And in that fiscal note, if you take a look at the contractual line item, it's zero. They're telling us that they're going to replace, in this case, chiropractors in the Division of Occupational Licensing without any consultation whatsoever with chiropractors is going to prepare an exam for chiropractors, and that without any consultation whatsoever with veterinarians, they're going to prepare an examination for veterinarians. And I don't believe that's possible. They're also indicating in their fiscal note that they intend to eliminate practical exams for chiropractors, optometrists, veterinarians, and dispensing opticians. I'm a little hesitant to place programs of these nature in the hands of a department that has indicated they're going to eliminate practical exams. And I certainly wouldn't want to take an animal to a veterinarian who's only had a written exam. I have some real concerns about eliminating these boards. And as I said, this adopting the committee substitute places me in a real dilemma. However, I do intend to vote against several of these bills simply because I'm real uncomfortable about what they do. And I don't think the questions I have been answered. And for that reason, even though I'm going to have to vote Either way I vote, I end up terminating. I think I'm going to vote no just as a protest against the approach we're taking.
Speaker. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I agree with some of what the prior speaker says, and I suppose if all those horrible things were going to happen, I wouldn't be in favor of the Commerce Committee bill. But the problem is this. When the bills came up in Finance Committee, they have, with regard to every one of these boards, it's a situation like chiropractic examiners, that there's a termination in 1981, the 1980 fiscal note is zero, because of course there's no change during 1980 beyond what decisions would normally be made to fund the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Then the Division of Occupational Licensing, in its infinite wisdom, went back and prepared some fiscal notes based upon some assumptions. I don't know where they got the assumptions. The assumptions were not made upon any decisions that have been made by anybody in this legislature with regard to what might be happening in fiscal year 1981, 82, 83, and 84, because the Finance Committee asked for that. I did not even find out that one of those assumptions was apparently the elimination of certain practical exams and other rather crucial decisions until I heard that there were some motions being made, one of them by the prior speaker, in the Finance Committee a couple of days ago. I don't agree with those portions of the fiscal note, and I wouldn't have problem with voting to disapprove the 1981 and succeeding portions of the fiscal note on the floor of this House, because we don't have to decide that now. The first column in a fiscal note is the one that affects the current year's financing. So the first column in the fiscal note is the portion that will actually be included in the budget, presumably, by the free conferees on the budget as their last action before they sign out the budget. But the rest of it is just a prediction made by some administrators that this or a future legislature might agree or disagree with. It's not at all binding, has no effect on what decision is made next year, and I think that some of those horrible things simply are not going to happen as a result. I'm not in favor of eliminating certain portions of those examinations. I would hope that the Division of Occupational Licensing, in the manner anticipated by our committee reports and these bills, would prepare very good budget backup for Mr. McKinnon and the other members of the Finance Committee to see next year, so that they'll show how they are going to accomplish this transfer. And particularly, I think that we anticipated that they would be they would have direct dealings with professionals from the affected professions even after sunset had been accomplished. And also, I point out that the first page of the bill, starting in line 17, the, in the CS we're considering, says, during the period until January 1, 1981, members of the board will facilitate the orderly transfer of the functions and responsibility of the board to the department. You know what that really does? That makes the outgoing board a very powerful board, because the experts are sitting right there, and they're determining, making the strongest kind of advice to the Division of Occupational Licensing as to what it will do after December 31, 1980. So while I agree with some of the concerns that Mr. McKinnon has, I don't think they all relate to the issue of acceptance of the committee substitute. And it may be that some other members of the Finance Committee can shed some further light on the issue.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had some comments prepared that were quite similar to those of Representative McKinnon, so rather than be repetitive, I simply like to say that he generally expressed my concern with the House Committee substitute, and I, like Representative McKinnon, intend to vote against most of these bills as a protest for the way in which they're addressing the termination of the of these boards.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the things I'd like to say is that I suppose most of the people are as concerned about a medical doctor as any other of the different professions we're dealing with. The medical doctors, the board does not give clinical examinations. The doctors that come into this state are licensed either by reciprocity or endorsement along with their credentials. I think I was rather astounded to find out this is the way that our doctors are allowed into the state, and yet in other areas, including the chiropractors, not only do they have to be, you know, they can be licensed in another state. They could have taken, most all of the professions now have national boards, which are accepted throughout the United States, and they do have to pass these. They also you know, have to be accredited from a school. And yet, when the different boards came before us, we found more and more people that sat there and maybe they really believe they were protecting the public, but they make up these examinations. And then they determine, they make up the little examinations, and they determine if this person is doing it to their satisfaction, and this is the way they decide whether this person can come in to Alaska to practice. Well, what we have found is that, indeed, it does lock out people. A person is not going to write to the state of Alaska and say, what do we have to do for licensing, when they find out that they have to come up and not only, you know, have they already taken the examinations elsewhere. We don't have a medical school. We don't have a veterinarian school. We won't be doing this to students fresh out of school. A lot of the things that were classified as protection of people, I question, unless we indeed want to say, well, all right, then let's do it for physicians too. The physicians, the nurses, people like this, very much were open to accepting credentials, to accepting endorsement, or reciprocity. And I'm just amazed at the people that are a lot more concerned about their dogs than they are their persons.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. As has been mentioned already on the floor, this is the first of the bills, the medical bills, that where the House Commerce Committee recommendation is to totally eliminate the board. On page 23 of the journal supplement that Mr. Brown mentioned is a very brief minority report. You might want to take time to read it before you vote. I have several things I'd like to say on this issue, some of which have been said that may all shed a little different light on it. It seems to me that, in fact, earlier in the year, I co-sponsored with Representative Rogers a bill to sunset regulations. I sense have determined, I haven't done it yet, but you know, take my name off that thing as a co-sponsor. After sitting through, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months of most of the sunset hearings, I've become extremely concerned about just what we're doing in the total picture. But as it relates specifically to these boards, in the seven boards that are being terminated, we are keeping or accentuating, in some cases, all of the authority, all of the regulations that the government has to regulate these boards, and we're totally cutting out any input from the profession or the public officially. Now there may be, in fact, I'm sure there will be some unofficial interplay between the profession and probably some public members and the bureaucracy. But I think we sold the concept of sunset to the people of this state based on the fact that it was going to reduce the size of government. Now, I'm talking to folks around these halls, they say, well, that really wasn't the intent. But boy, I tell you, out in the streets, that was the intent. And what we are doing in the case of the medical boards is setting up a situation where they have absolutely no official input into the way they're being regulated. And they're extremely upset about it, and I don't blame them. But the real problem is, of course, and as Mr. Brown said early in his remarks, that you know, if you're going to let the government decide how many competitors you have in selling a blue toothpaste, then there is going to be protectionism. The real problem, of course, is that we allow the government to tell you how many competitors can be in selling a toothpaste. I think a much better approach to take to this whole thing, as the minority report says in a very general way, is to get into a situation where you have where each of the medical professions have private organizations, many of which already exist, which have criteria much stronger than the licensure procedure. Those institutions could be implemented into a much more official function than they presently have, and do a much better job of regulating than the government is now doing. And get the idea of sunset would be to get the government out of this business, not into it. What the House Commerce Committee is suggesting is to get the government into it a whole heck of a lot more, get the profession and public out of it a whole heck of a lot more. I'm very much opposed to that, and I think the general public very much should be, and if they understood, would be very much opposed to that. I also would agree that we have to allow and have plenty of prohibitions against turf protection, and there's no reason why they can't have very strong laws in the books to do that and still leave the technical and professional criteria and regulation up to the profession, maybe in concert with some public members. But to say that we have to go the route we've gone to stop the turf protection is just not, doesn't make sense at all. You can stop the turf protection by making very strong prohibitions against it and enforcing them. I think there are some very real and some very viable alternatives to this procedure. No matter how this goes, we're going to have a year to work on it, and I personally am going to spend a lot of time with these people, if they so desire, during the interim, and try to come up with some alternatives to the direction they're going. I think what the House Commerce Committee has done in these seven boards is exactly the opposite direction they should be going.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I kind of agree with Representative Randolph, and my idea of sunset, and I'm sure the people in my area felt the same thing, that this would greatly reduce government where it was needed in government agencies. And I've often questioned, since I've been legislated, why the powers to be began to pick on the medical professions. Well, they did it, so that's that. But the thing is that I believe we should do something positive to help these professional groups to give better service to the people, not eliminate them. In the past, it was the occupational licenses that did give a piece of paper, so to speak, to people who want to professionalize in various aspects of medicine. And from some of the reports I have had and letters, it was until doomsday, until people personally went to the department and practically begged to get some service. Whereas now that they know they have a board to write to, I know a number of these professions because they sell medical products, and I know that they are constantly trying to upgrade themselves. The occupational therapy had just been a profession that was licensed, I guess, about 4 years ago, and they have done a tremendous job in this state to clean up that particular medical aspect of our society and make sure people get proper services. I don't believe that the occupational licenses division will ever do that. And I am concerned what Representative McKinnon mentioned, that the cost to us, there's no doubt that the way government grows in this state, we'll probably have a full-time professional for each profession or each board that we're going to eliminate, and pay them probably $50,000-$60,000 to do the licensing. But I think we're going in the wrong direction. And if we approach this in a proper way, we're going to encourage these people to continually improve themselves. I did have one disagreement with Mr. McKinnon. He said he felt uncomfortable for being in a box. Well, I guess now he knows how it is to be a minority. Thank you.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The debate that's taking place on the floor today is interesting because most of it, of course, also took place in the Commerce Committee as the work developed on the legislation. And I think that one thing that people should keep in mind here is that you can take this whole sunset thing and throw it out the window and continue these boards to the next time that they come up and then do the same thing again. Or you can try to do something about it. Now, the legislation that's before the House yesterday and today represents the first time that this legislature since statehood has tied into the sunset question. There's a lot of, I think, deficiencies in that process. The process itself has to be improved. I think that was recognized in the committee. The committee, I think, took the position that the purpose of sunset was that in order to continue the existence of a particular government agency, whether it was a border commission as specified in the sunset law or some other agency specified in the sunset law, whether it was a citizen board or otherwise, a volunteer board or otherwise, that the justification had to lie with those who wanted to continue the existence of that border commission, not the other way around. And I think that the approach in legislation is consistent with that, and I think it's important to do that, or else you don't really have any review. You have a rubber stamp of the status quo. In the time that was allowed and available to the committee for the review process, and in the work that had been done prior to the committee's considerations, which, while it was, I think, good, it was not all-inclusive, I think it became apparent that we weren't going to come up with final solutions to these problems right now. At the same time, that didn't mean that we ought to ignore the concept of sunset in its first test and throw it out the window. So when you're facing a situation like that, usually in the process of formulating public policy, you try to arrive at a reasonable compromise that will maintain the purpose of the review under sunset and not do violence, unnecessary or gratuitous violence, to the system. And that's what I think this bill represents. It proposes to sunset a board because it was the view of the committee that there was no real justification to have a board in operation in this area under the present law and under the present conditions in the state of Alaska. But rather than make a hasty decision on that, This legislation that's before the House proposes that the existing board and its powers will be continued for, in effect, 2 years, or until January 1, 1981. During that time, I think that all the members of the committee that worked on this legislation anticipate that further review is going to take place. It's going to take place partly at the active urging of those people who believe that even the 1981 perhaps is too soon to reset the sun on these boards and commissions. And it's going to take place on the urging and concerns of other people, like Representative Randolph, who believes the whole system is deficient, and perhaps people like myself who think the same thing, but to reject the legislation, either because as a protest, I think overlooks the real problem. The real problem is that right now nobody's got a better answer than keeping these boards and commissions under scrutiny until we devise a consistent and reasonable approach to the regulation and licensing of individual occupations in Alaska, and a way of making determinations, a consistent way of making determinations as to which individuals ought to be licensed in their occupations. We have de facto laws on the books now that say that chiropractic examiners are going to be licensed by the state. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's any standard test that that particular occupation meets in order to be licensed. And I think it's incumbent on the legislature to set those things out in the law. What are the specific areas of public concern that necessitate licensing of individuals in an occupation? That's never been done in this state. It has been done in some jurisdictions. It has never been done in this state. And so we've got a complete hodgepodge. And I think that in view of that, and in view of the fact that no one really has a better answer, that the approach that generally was taken on termination by the Commerce Committee is the right one. Is that these boards and commissions are going to be put on a short leash. That's going to provide an incentive for people to develop consistent answers. And if that doesn't work, if that doesn't happen, either the operation will sunset, which is a very blunt way of handling it, or it'll be summarily continued, which was the purpose of the original legislation as introduced in the House. And no real improvements will be made. But that's not the purpose of the Commerce Committee, and to recommend the legislation be voted against as a protest vote, I think doesn't show much of a recognition of the problems that the legislature itself faces in the Sunset Review. I don't think there's one member of the Commerce Committee that's entirely comfortable with the action that's taken. If we had another 60 days, I think we could come up with some better answers. But that's not going to be the case, and under the present situation, I think that the proposals that the Commerce Committee developed are probably pretty close to the best that people could do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, it seems to me the question here is that we hear a lot about turf protection, and I suppose that's really what we're trying to get at. So I guess my question is this to members of the Commerce Committee or the chairman, perhaps. Was there a demonstrable and perhaps even quantifiable number of candidates for a chiropractor, for instance, to practice in this state that were rejected and otherwise, otherwise qualified? Did we have absolute? Are they very comfortable that otherwise qualified individuals were turned down for practice in the state that would have, were it not for turf protection, been practicing here? That's, I'd like to know how many we're talking about. I'm aware of some, chiropractors coming into the state in the last very few years, and so surely everybody hasn't been X'd out. I'm curious how many the committee might think were, just eliminated on the basis of turf protection or something like that.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, we also have some information on that. Something that goes at least partway toward answering that is the matters cited in the performance review of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners on page 8.
Current board licensure policies and actions are restricting the entry of qualified doctors of chiropractic in Alaska, which is detrimental to the public's best interest. For example, the board requires applicants for Alaskan licensure to first pass a nationally administered written exam. Applicants then test at the state level with another written and clinical exam. State written examination, which is subjective, tests the applicant on areas previously examined at the national level. Board has no reciprocity or endorsement agreements with other states. Qualified doctors of chiropractic from outside Alaska with years of experience may avoid Alaska because of the board's non-recognition of licenses from other jurisdictions. Using calendar year 1977 figures, the state of Alaska has a chiropractor resident ratio of 1 to 10,046 compared to a national average of 1 to 7,138. Current board licensing policies may be a contributing factor to this disparity between Alaska and national averages. And there was other materials in there that showed that, in fact, some of the examination procedures were unusually unorthodox. And yes, we did see a trend, and this particular board, as a matter of fact, was one of the boards where we saw the trend. And I don't want to go into such detail as to embarrass individuals on the floor of the House, but the answer is yes, we certainly saw it.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been mentioned that we're operating on a short leash, and I'd just like to point out that it's probably about somewhere around a year and 8 or 9 months, and not 2 years. And in view of that, I'm wondering if that's really a positive approach to trying to resolve what I understood the Commerce Committee has recognized as a problem, that is that there's a lot of work that needs to be done by these various boards and commissions, and that they put them on a so-called short leash so that they could come back before this body with some sort of a resolution to, or at least a proposed resolution to whatever the Commerce Committee has found lacking in their particular function, and hopefully get extended till the next review. I think one of the problems that we have is that, looking at it from a positive point of view, is that we're not going to be back. We're soon going to be out of session, and we won't be back until January of 1980, at which time it would be expected that any of these boards or commissions might attempt to convince the Commerce Committee and this body and the other body that they should be continued. And at the same time, this is that they're trying to do this in accord with language on the first page of the House Committee substitute. They're in the process of transitioning whatever their function and powers are to the Department of Occupational Licensing, so that and essentially you're supposed to be fighting a battle that at the time when you need maybe your greatest resources and your greatest strength, and you're being drained away under the requirements of this bill. I find that a very major objection, in that in any event, without getting into the turf guarding and my philosophical opinions regarding professionals and how they should police their own profession, taking into consideration that perhaps the turf guarding should be addressed. Without getting into that, I think that there are some problems in the time constraints, and if I didn't have any other objections, I would object to it for that reason, simply because I think it's practically got them terminated by virtue of the way the bill is written.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I had another question I'd like to pursue with the chairman, if we could. If I read the Senate, the original bill for which this will be a committee substitute, correctly, it simply just complies with the sunset provision, and if we were to adopt it instead of the committee substitute, the board would just be in business as usual until their next sunset cycle. Is that correct?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, that's correct. The motion, of course, is to adopt the Commerce Committee substitute. Yes. The other bill, of course, is the original bill which came over from the Senate, which would extend them for another 4 years with no qualification, no additions, changes, or anything like that. I'm strongly against that. I urge the members to vote for the Commerce Committee substitute.
Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, and earlier Mr. McKinnon had indicated he sort of felt in a box because if he voted yes on the committee substitute, he was killing the board. If he voted no, he was killing the board with a different time schedule. So it seems to me, and this is not a procedural vote that we're going to take, it seems to me then the crucial vote is for the adoption of the committee substitute, not for the adoption on final passage. And that, as I say, certainly is not a procedural vote. It's a very substantive matter. And so that's the one that tells the difference. So I think we do have a choice.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to applaud the previous speaker for bringing us back to what the question is that's before us, and that's the adoption of the committee substitute. And, Mr. Speaker, my comment here not only applies to this, but applies to all of them. It's along the lines I fully appreciate and go right along with the tremendous amount of work that the Commerce Committee of our House has gone to on this. They've spent long hours, I'm told, and I know. And, Mr. Speaker, they have addressed the sunset question and it's been well spoken to. And, Mr. Speaker, I think in addressing it, why every one of the boards that they've reviewed are very much aware that whatever happens, why they're going to have to shape up their act and get around to it. And, Mr. Speaker, my only comment along those lines is that the House committee substitutes for the Senate bills, why I cannot do other than to liken it in addressing the sunset question, sort of like watering a violet with a 3-inch fire hose. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Munson.
Yes, I have one last comment. Many of the people that are, many of the members that are sitting here, have not taken the time to even read the legislative audit report, which we did ask to have this report made to this body. I feel very strongly that the Commerce Committee could have just continued every board, although we were charged with deciding whether they were protecting the public's interest. And if we could not determine that, then we had an alternative as to what course we might take. I think it might be very sad to say that the easiest way out for all of us is to do nothing.
Is there further debate? Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've honestly tried to refrain from getting up and talking on this subject, and I will truly be brief. There is one aspect of this that I think we have all missed, and that is, here in Alaska especially, where government is all around us, we were totally aware of its influence on our lives, is I know of no reason why, if these boards are sunsetted, those boards as currently constituted cannot continue to operate, cannot continue to serve the function that they were given to function by government, completely autonomous from government, and come to this body and lobby for whatever licensure laws they feel necessary. And I think that's one point that's been completely lost on this body. I, as an individual, would far rather have a group that's come to me, not sanctioned by government, an association of people that are interested in any subject and need the help of government to get that across. Thank you.
Representative McKinnon.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, when I made the mistake of getting up and touching off this debate, I said that I only intended to momentarily object to the adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute. And the dilemma is more than the lesser of two evils, it's sort of the lesser of three evils we're faced with. During my 2 years as chairman of the Commerce Committee, I think I gained somewhat of an insight into the operation of some of these boards, and there are real problems with them. And I also have a problem with adopting the original bills, which continue, which sort of look the other way at the problems and let them go on their way for 4 or 5 years or whatever the full term is. And, you know, I suppose the only real option we have in most cases is to adopt the Commerce Committee substitute and buy the short leash. And I have no doubt that that's what's going to happen here today. But, you know, I do think that next year we're going to be faced with, in addition to the sunset programs that are coming up next year, we're going to be faced with going back through all these boards again and trying to find some permanent solution, because all this is, you know, is some sort of a stopgap solution, because I don't think anybody thinks this is the permanent solution of the problem. So I'll withdraw my objection to the adoption of the CA.
There is objection. The question for the House is the adoption of the Commerce Committee substitute Senate Bill 242. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take final roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 9 nays, 5 not voting.
The House has adopted the Commerce Committee substitute. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, just a point of inquiry. We have SB 242. Do we vote on that, or do we vote on the committee substitute?
We just voted on the adoption of the committee substitute. The Commerce Committee substitute has been adopted. Are there amendments?
I have an amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Mr. Hayes. Page 1, lines 14, 17, and 7. Section 1, line 14, change date to January 1, 1982. Section 1, line 17, change date to January 1, 1982. Title, line 7, change date to January 1, 1982.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, this partially addresses one of the comments that I made previously on the floor just a few minutes ago, and that is I think the leash is too short. I think that a more positive approach, if we're going to deal with the House Committee substitute, is to give the board more time, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The problem that I see, as I have previously mentioned, is that we really have a little over a year and a half, or they have a little over a year and a half, with which to deal with this problem and to get some legislative relief prior to their termination forever. The problem is further complicated by the fact that yesterday on the floor of this House we passed a bill which added another 20 or so bills to the workload of the Commerce Committee for next year in dealing with sunset. So not so okay, but in any event we added some, and I think the problem is that you take the workload that we have for next year, plus the attempt by many of these boards to try to deal with a problem that generally consists of getting more public input. Working out funding deficits, improvement of communication, and reworking regulations and so forth, trying to get that amount of work accomplished and dealing with it successfully in the next legislature, I don't think is a realistic, positive solution. I certainly think it would be more more beneficial, more positive to extend this 1 year. Thank you.
Representative Martin.